listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to the True Word of God. I am Apostle Vernon Whitaker with Pastor Betty Whitaker of First Church Bible Fellowship Ministries in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We want to welcome you to our show. Morning, good morning, good morning. Hi, this is our motto day. And our motto is, this is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Truly, truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. Matter of fact, this is the day we have never seen before. And I thank God that he allowed us to get up this morning so that we can see this precious day. The True Word of God. This is Apostle Vernon Whitaker, along with my lovely wife, Pastor Betty Whitaker, Prophetess Betty Whitaker, of First Church Fivefold Fellowship in Port St. Lucie, Florida. The address is 1689 Biltmore Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida. And you can call me at 561-718-2361. If you don't have a home church and looking for a good church, First Church Fivefold Fellowship is a good place for you to be. And we truly believe in flowing in the Spirit of God, always letting the Holy Ghost have his way, always. And you can call the church at 772-777-4431. You can send us an email at firstchurch12@gmail.com. Send us your prayer request and send us and give us a note and tell us how do you like the program and how the program is helping you through your daily walk. And also, we would like to thank Treasure Chest Discovery at
2855 Southwest Brightington Street. It's right on off of Gatlin. And we are now open for business.
Yes, and also our good friend Robert Joseph at Red Med on US 1. If you're in that area, go by there and see him. Oh, we just gonna have a good topic today. And before we get started, we're gonna have a moment of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your precious word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for over the airways, God, that somebody be healed, somebody be delivered, somebody be set free. God, let your word go out now, dear Father, and touch somebody's heart, prick somebody's heart, change somebody's mind. And, Lord, we are thankful for what you're about to do today, this morning, this hour, this second, at right now, and the precious word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our topic today, I think, is a good topic, and I think that's something that we all need to understand. And while do we want to become a Christian? Not just a Christian, but a Christian according to the Bible. Yes, and the Bible does give us a way that we can become a Christian. And that's something I think that everybody should be able to understand, why we serve Jesus Christ, why I love the Lord, and why I praise him, and why I lift up the name of Jesus everywhere I go, and why I tell everybody that will hear me, will listen to me, and that the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want. He is my Savior. He's the one that saved me. Nobody saved me but Jesus Christ. When I was lost in the world, running around, doing whatever I wanted to do, how to become a Christian according to the Bible. And the first thing that we need to understand, Pastor, is that we need to study and see that the Bible definitely is by the inspiration of God. And if you want to be a Christian based on what the Bible says, then it's necessary, yes it is, to believe that the Bible has been inspired by God himself and say exactly what he wants to say. And I know that some people say, well, man wrote the Bible. You know, they always throw that in my favor. Man, I know man wrote the Bible, but it was no ordinary means that sit down and wrote the Bible. Come on now. Amen. If you really want to understand who wrote the Bible, you need to be going into, get on the internet. You can find anything on the internet and dictionaries and see who some of these men are that wrote the Bible. These men were inspired by God. And I know because I had to study about the King James. I want to know who wrote the King James Bible. And when the king gave a decree to write the Bible, he did not go out and get no ordinary men. He had men. He had learned men. They had to speak 5 and 6 different languages and be fluent in Hebrew and in Latin and Greek in order to write the Bible. So the Bible in the beginning are nothing but letters that were inspired by the Apostle Paul and Peter and on all the disciples of Jesus Christ. And they was inspired by the Holy Ghost to sit down and write these letters, and the letters were broken down for us so that we can understand them. They put them in verses. Come on, church. You know, we got to stop saying what man wrote, because we got all kind of excuses why we don't want to serve God. And I always say, give me one excuse that you can serve God. Just one. Just give me one. So now, the next thing, in order to be a Christian, you must be born again. And we know that Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee, and he waited until all the other buddies had left, and he went to seek Jesus at night and asked Jesus, what can he do? And Jesus said, you had to be born again. And the first thing what he said, well, I can't get back into my mother's womb. See, that's because he didn't understand what Jesus was saying. He was looking at the physical part. That, well, man, I'm old. Now, how can I get back in my mother's womb and be born again?
You know, Apostle, on that note, this is a lot of times what the Word of God is saying. Sometimes the Word of God is so plain,
yes,
to people misinterpret the Word of God. And it goes back. They'll find all kind of questions,
mm-hmm,
as to what the Bible is not saying incorrectly to,
yes,
feed their ears, to feed the flesh, because they don't understand.
Yes.
So, but once you get into the Word of God, into the Bible, and start looking the words up,
mm-hmm,
because it's, you know, the Bible is knowledge.
Yes.
He also provides us with tools.
Yes.
Dictionaries,
mm-hmm,
thesauruses.
Yes.
So we have to understand exactly what the word is saying.
Yes.
And I believe Webster was a Christian, because if I go into Webster to look, mm-hmm, up any word that I'm having a problem with, mm-hmm, in the Bible, Webster breaks it down for,
yes,
you.
Yes.
So let's not get it twisted.
Yes, come on now.
On misinterpreting or misquoting what God is saying.
Yes.
Because we have a tendency of misunderstanding everything.
Yes, we do.
But until you get full knowledge,
mm-hmm,
then you can go to God and say, hey, you know, God, I don't understand that. And even then, you can still say, God, I don't understand this.
Yes.
Make this plain. Make it clear to me.
Yes.
So we have the tools.
Yes.
Yes. To help us with this Word of God. Amen?
Yes. Amen. And now let's look at what the Word of God says on how to become a Christian. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to do verses 23 and verse 25, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And verse 25 says, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached. So now we need to understand that we are born corruptible because we are born in sin. And we are so easily to be influenced by society. We are being influenced by our peers and our family members. We will be so easily to be influenced by things that goes on in our lives. And people in general will cause us to fall out of the grace of God. So now, to be born again, it means that we got to be born in the incorruptible seed. And that seed is of Jesus Christ. We must have the word of God deep down on the inside so that we can overcome those things that were causing us, that would trip us, that would keep us from coming and serving God. So now we need to understand, be born again. So in other words, we need to turn around. We need to go and do this thing all over again, and so that we can get it right. So be born again of not of the corruptible seed, which is our father Adam brought into the world when he would disobey God, and that's how sin got into the world, but through one man, and that man was Adam. And when he disobeyed God, but see, when I was growing up and I was coming up, and they told me that the woman had deceived Adam, and she had tricked Adam, and she caused Adam. But then when you read the scripture, come on now, you got to read your scripture yourself. When she ate of the fruit, it didn't say no apple now, because let's get it straight. When she ate of the fruit, who was standing there with her? Adam was standing right there.
Adam was standing right
and
there.
And the Bible says she turned around and handed Adam the fruit. But everything still was good. And the reason why, because God didn't give her the word, he gave the word to the man. So when Adam ate of the fruit, that's when sin came in. So because I just listened to what somebody else said and then do my own study and then do my own reading, for years, I believe that woman was treacherous and this oh man, all kind of stuff. And we want to blame the woman, but come to find out, it was our own fault. Come on, men. Because all Adam had to do was stand up and say, look here, baby, put that fruit down. God said not to eat of that fruit. Come on, let's go home. But no, his curiosity was just as bad as her. So now when he done that, that's when sin and seeds and everything came in. So now that's how we are born. And the Bible says we are born into sin. And look at this. Your children, for those of you who have children, you don't teach your children how to lie. You don't teach your children how to deceive somebody. They come up with automatically. Now, let me give a case in point for those who have children. And you catch them doing something wrong. And you ask them, why did you do that? First thing they say, I didn't do it. And you're looking right at them. Come on now. Because it's natural. It's in us.
It's natural. That's right.
It's in us. We can't help it. It is in us. So now, when we hear the word of God, come on now, and put on the word of God, it takes that corruptible seed out, come on now, and put in with God and righteousness on the inside. And that's where we begin to tell the truth. Because the Bible said God can't lie. He's not a God of a liar. So if we take on the nature of God, that means that we cannot lie. But the word, come on now, we got to get this thing right. But the word, it says, abides in us, and it endures forever. It's the word of God.
The reason why I think that we have a hard time allowing the word to abide in us forever, because forever is a long time.
Yes, it is.
And it is so easy, because we watch our friends, we watch neighbors, we watch people on the job, we watch everything that goes on around us, till we want to blend in with them. We want to have double standards. And when you're walking in Christ, there is no double standard.
Come on now.
You have to be truthful.
Yes.
Or not. You have to love Christ or love Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a choice that we have to make. And we think that it's really hard. In choosing Christ, they said, if you come to me and you want me to lie for you, you have to set a standard where people will know that you will not lie for them.
Yes.
They're going to have to suffer the consequences
for what they've done.
For what they did. So if I'm a woman of standard, then they know not to come to Betty Whitaker to lie for them.
Come on now.
Or Pat Vernon Whitaker to lie for them.
Yes.
They'll go find somebody else.
Yes, yes.
Why? Because they're in the flesh. They're in the world. But if you're going to do right, do right.
Do right.
For yourself. Don't worry about man. If you do something, own up to it.
Mm-hmm.
What can they do to you?
That's right.
You know, mistakes are easily learned. We have to learn from our mistakes.
Yes.
So how can we learn if we're constantly lying and trying to cover up that lie with another lie? Eventually, you do get trapped.
Yeah. So now, by you saying that, Pastor, now that leads us to one thing that the Bible always teach us and tell us: repent. Repent of your wrongdoing, which is called sin. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. And Jesus answered, saying unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such thing. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish, unless you repent. Now, just look at the word repent. And the word repent means to change your mind, to turn around. That's what repentance means. I'm coming to Christ. I'm tired of living the same old life. I'm tired of going through the same old thing. I'm tired of getting hooked up with the same old person. I'm tired of lying. I'm tired of stealing. But I need a change. I need to turn this thing around. I need to overturn it. Come on, somebody. Mm. So in order to overturn it, then I got to change. How can I change? I must change my mind, and I must change my attitude towards whatever is causing me to fall. Whatever is causing me to have not the Spirit of God on the inside. And I can tell you, not for what somebody said, but my own personal experience, when I was in the world and I was lost. Yes, I was lost. I was in sin doing all kinds of things. But I came to a point in my life till I got sick and tired of doing the same old thing. Same old thing, day in and day out.
Lying, stealing, cheating.
Yeah, being influenced because of the world said you need to do this. Because the world said when you go out, you need to drink. Because the world said when you go out, you got to have a cigarette to make you look like you somebody. The world said you got to smoke some dope, do some heroin in order to fit in with your peers. Instead of me being a leader, I would end up being a follower. Come on, somebody. That's how we get trapped and stuff will be going, because we want to fit in. We want everybody to know I'm just like you.
I'm cool.
Instead of us standing up on the standards what God has set. So I got to the point one day, said, look, I'm sick of this. I need something to change me. And I realized that I couldn't do it by myself because of the influence. You know, when you get in sin, it feels good to you. Come on now. You know, and you really don't want to quit because your flesh don't want to quit. Come on now. Your spirit might say it, but that flesh is something else.
That's right.
Yeah, man, it will overpower you. You got all in your mind that you really want, but yet, man, that flesh is something else. So I got to the point. Go ahead.
What I think is, and you can correct me.
Yes.
Because we want to fit in, we don't want to lose the friends that we have.
Sure don't.
We want them to continue. We want to continue to hang around them. Mm-hmm. But once you change, you know, they see that you're trying to do right. Well, they don't want to do right. So mm-hmm. what you have to do, and that's where the separation comes in. You have to not be afraid to separate yourself from mm-hmm. them. And a lot of times you don't have to separate yourself. They will separate themselves from you.
They sure will.
Because they're not ready to change. They're That's comfortable right. in doing what they want to do.
Yes.
So how can you continue to hang around something that makes you uncomfortable?
Mm-hmm.
It will draw you back into the situation what you're trying to get out of. So you have to separate yourself, set yourself apart
mm-hmm.
so that you can be an example for your friends.
Yes.
And a lot of times, you know, because you're separating yourself, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, I'm going to fall back into temptation. God began to lift you up. He begins mm-hmm. to bless you.
Yeah.
You begin to prosper
mm-hmm.
spiritually,
mm-hmm.
naturally.
Yes.
Even in monetary goods.
Mm. Yes.
You begin to be blessed.
Be blessed. And here's one thing that I understand, Pastor, and I'm going to give somebody some wisdom. A lot of times you have friends because they want to use you.
Oh, say that.
Because you might have lot of money, and they'll be your friend until you get broke. They'll be your friend.
That's right.
Until you get sick. If you really want to know who your friends are, stop giving them money. Stop taking them to the shop. Stop buying them lunch. Stop doing it and take them everywhere. You'll find out who your friends really is.
That's right.
Trust me. So sometimes we got people around us and they want to keep us influenced because they want to use us.
Exactly.
So this is where you had to come and find out. And sometimes, when I was going up, I tried my friend. Sometimes I tell them, I ain't got no money. And just to see how they go at. And I find out, and I got rid of a whole lot of friends that way. But I know when you come to Christ, You're going to get rid of a whole lot of friends and family members as well. So now in this repentance, it's a change of mind. But how are we going to change our mind? This is what we need to understand in order to repentance. But you got to have faith and you got to hear. And Romans chapter 11, verses 26 and 27 says, also all Israel shall be saved as it is written. There shall come out of Zion a deliverer who shall turn away the ungodly from Jacob. In verse 27, but this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sin. I became a Christian because God had promised me, it's written, that he will take away my sins, come on now, and give me and put me into a place of tranquility and give me peace and joy, and I get my happiness back because this is what he said. This is the word of God. It is written. Now, you can't find nowhere else that is written in no law that you can get all this if you change and turn around and serve God. But if you really look at it, what God is really trying to get us to do is to treat each other right. That's all he's trying to get us to do. He's trying to get us to love each other, regardless of color of skin or what you look like, but treat each other as brothers and sisters. That's all. So now that's a promise. That the deliverer, come on somebody, that will come out of Zion. Somebody who is incorruptible, who don't know sin, who had never sinned, because we were so full of sin that we could not please God because of the mess that we was in. Our bad attitudes. Then if you look at the children of God, and they will go from one God to another God to another God. But look at what God did. Every time they backslid, he's still there with his arm open.
He forgave them.
Every time they left and God sent them a word and they turned around, guess what? God's still there. You see, I'm the same, but yesterday, today, and the future, God don't never change. So now, the promise, and that's what really got me when I began to read the word of God and have faith in the word of God and believe that God said it is written that somebody will come. Come on, somebody. My God.
The deliverer. Jesus.
That will come. And he shall take away our sins. So now he didn't say that I had to take it. He said he will. He was willing and able to do something that we was not able to do. And you know what Pastor, what kind of may blow my mind? Out of all the peoples in the world at that time of Jesus Christ, when nobody was able to get on that cross. Not one person. Not one. Could you imagine all the millions of people and you couldn't find one person
that was qualified
to get on the cross?
To bear the sins of the whole world?
The whole world.
None.
And it used to boggle my mind, but Lord, why? You couldn't find no one. Then I realized that we all are born in sin. Mm. We all are born in sin.
1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God which you heard of us, you receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually works also in you that believe.
Yes.
The word works in us.
Yes.
The word cleanses us.
Yes.
The word satisfies the desires that we think that we are missing.
Yes.
The word, it's the word of God that will stand up in you for righteousness, for truth, for what you believe in the word.
It's the word. Nothing but the true word of God. You need something that's on the inside that will fight that flesh. Come on now.
Help you get through any of your failures. that will change your way of thinking.
Yes.
That will change the heart.
Yes.
But we have to repent.
You got to repent.
And I'm not talking just lip service. I'm talking about you have to mean what you say.
Now you're talking.
Mean it, because God is there for you. Open arms. Jesus died on the cross for us to save us from our sins, from this old world, to live a righteous and whole and healthy lifestyle.
Yes.
But you got to believe.
You got to believe. And this, if you look at what you said, and this is not for everybody, but for those who believe. Now, everybody don't believe.
No, they don't.
But I wish they would. I wish the whole world was believe. I wish the whole world would just say, hey, we just going to get up and we going to serve Jesus Christ. We're going to serve. Guess what? This would be a better place if the whole world was to do it. But somebody, just like Satan, somebody got pride, and that pride always get him in trouble. That's how he got kicked out of heaven, because of pride. I truly believe that. I truly believe if the whole world was to be like God and we love each other, we won't be having all these problems.
But one thing, God said all will not accept him.
All will not accept.
So there's a lot of them that don't want Christ. Mm. They don't want to have anything to do with him.
They don't.
And I feel sorry for them.
I truly do too. Because we all, like you said, we all going to perish if we don't repent and change. All those who don't change and don't repent, you going to perish. That's what the word of God said. And sometimes people, they get mad with the preachers because we begin to preach the word of God and we begin to talk about if you don't do this, you might end up in hell. Oh, they get mad. Well, I don't like that kind of sermon. But that's the truth. That is the word of God. That's what God says. But he's a loving God. He's a true God. Yes, he is. I love him. I ain't going to let nobody turn me away from God. Nobody. I'm not going to let nothing in this world keep me from serving God. If I got to lay down my life, that's what I do. And because Jesus laid down his life for me. And that was a true friend that laid down his life.
We're coming to a close. But today we want to leave you with this thought. Mm. Repent of your wrongdoing.
Yes.
Which is called sin.
Yes.
As Jesus said in Luke 13, verses 2 and 3, and Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Change your mind.
Change your mind.
Change your heart.
Change your heart.
Change your friends. There's nothing wrong with changing partners.
I'm glad I did.
I'm so glad I did. I could kick myself. I thought I was having fun in the world, but I wasn't really having fun.
Sure.
Now I have love, peace, happiness, joy, all the fruits of the Spirit that the Lord had promised me.
Promise. He promised. Whatever the canker worms ate up, he will return it. Whatever the enemy stole, he'll give it back to me. And so far, he had not never ever failed me yet. So this is, we want to thank Treasure Coast Discovery and Red Med Pharmacy for being the underwriters of this program. And we will continue with this next Saturday on how to become a Christian according to the word of God. Not according to what man says, but according to the Bible. So, yes, this is Apostle Vernon Whitaker and Pastor Betty Whitaker of First Church Fivefold Fellowship. And we always say, this is the day
that the Lord has made.
And we will rejoice. Ha-ha! I said we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for listening to the true word of God. We are